2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God, that's all, or the great promise of God, in him yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ and has anointed us God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit. Same thing in Romans 15 verse 8. And to explain the word earnest and the word seal. One of them means value. This is the value of redemption. That is, this is the worth of redemption. Okay? And then the other word is the word seal. It's the proof of what God has done. The proof and the value. The Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 1, where the same thing was used in verse 13 and 14, remember that Ephesians was clear in chapter 4, verse 4. There's one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Because it's one spirit. So let's go into a bit of details of that. Now in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17, I'll start from 16. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were near. For through him we both have access by what? One Spirit unto the Father. Now, that word access, he repeats it in chapter 3 again, verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. And Romans 5, 2. Access. Romans 5, 2. Looks like a passage is implied, but no, not just that. When we stand and rejoice the glory, we say we have access by faith unto this grace. So say, well, you can have the grace, but when there is no faith, you don't have. Just go and sit down somewhere. How can the work of God be called perfect, Leroma, and then you are still plotting dots? That means you are confused. The word access is the word prosagoge, which is from the word prosago. P-R-O-S-A-G-O. Prosago means to be brought near. It's not like it means to be brought near. Let's see the usage. Prosago. Luke 9:41. Bring thy son either. Bring. To bring. Acts 16:20. And brought them to the master. They brought them. Acts 27:27. Prosago. Acts 27:27. We were driven up and down in Adria about midnight. Prosago. 1 Peter 3:18. I want you to make observations, though. That's why I'm taking you through this one particularly. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also has once suffered for sins and just for the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Prosago. So the access is not you going to God. Are you getting this? You were brought. Okay? That's why we use the word admission or introduction. So it's not like a path. No. It's actually an act of God. The word prosago, where you have prosagoge, is an act of God. Ephesians 2:18. Well, through him, we both have been brought by one Spirit unto the Father. By one Spirit. So we have been, there's an introduction or an admission by the Spirit or in the Spirit. So that means our admission to the Father is by His Spirit. That's the introduction we have. We brought to, and that's a relationship, a union with the Father. So, what's the promise? Again, the promise will be what God did in man. The promise will be what God did. Not just a gift. The gift, again, is His work. Let's go to Ezekiel 36 one more time. That's where we ended the last session. Ezekiel 36. Verse 26. I'll start from 25 again. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Notice the focus is you. Will I cleanse you? I cleanse you. I will sprinkle clean water upon you. Look at 26. A new heart. Now, when you use the word new, of course the word spirit is the word ruach. What is a spirit? Spirit of God, spirit of a man is the word ruach. Ruach is where you have is the Hebrew of pneuma, where you have wind, air, wind and air, you know, basically. So when you use that, is to describe the unseen. Okay? The unseen yet visible, the unseen yet active. Okay, use pneuma. So when it says a new spirit, whatever it's referring to will not be seen visibly. Now, using the word new is the word kadash. C-H-A-D-S-H. This is a very key understanding we must have. By saying kadash, that means there must be a former one. So, to say new, there will be a former one. You can't use new if there was no former one. Kadash will be a different or a distinction or a contrast. A difference, a distinction, or a contrast. So if I say a new spirit, it can be a new spirit of God. Are you there? Though it came from God, it will be a new spirit of man. Is it clear? Is it clear? Okay. So the promise was a new spirit of who? Man. Can we say a new man? Okay. Then, a new heart, which is the word leb, L-E-B. Everywhere you see the word heart in the Old Testament, leb, L-E-B, in the Hebrew, it's not used for the physical pumping heart, like a heart surgery, transplant. The word heart is the inner man, the man inside. Are you following this? The man inside. So there won't be a change of body. There won't be a change of air cords. When I got born again, personally they told me it was my air cords. No, you are now a new creature. Yeah, I know. So your air has to be a new creature. And my shirt was the Jewish something. I said, you know, this shirt does not glorify God. I can't remember what was in it, but I think it was maybe one of these beasts or something. Maybe it scared my discipler. A new heart will I give to you. Pay attention. And I'll put within you. I will take away the stony heart of you, out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. To take away actually means to abolish, is the word sor, S-U-R, to abolish. Again, all pronouns should be contextual. So 27. Critical. I will put what? So the new man will be whose spirit? The new man will be whose spirit? If you had said, I will put my heart. You know, like, eh? But heart means new man. So I will put my spirit within you. So the new man, the new heart is whose spirit? Are we good to go? So look at the interplay between me and you. Me, my, I, you. So that means the new man or the new spirit is a new heart. Is that the new man? Huh? And is that his spirit? Is that clear? Is that his spirit? Huh? Wait. Is that his spirit? Which is the new man. And the new inner man. Which is the word heart. Don't think that the word heart is one part of you say, I'm sensing in my heart. And you know, we all thought this is. I sense it. Yes. Even though we are giving promises, yes. So we think that the new man is one Barbie doll, something hanging somewhere. You see?
Thank you, the Lord. Thank you, the Lord.
You know, we dare not see the new man just the way we see ourselves. We don't doubt it. Within the new man is one such a fly hanging in the spirit somewhere. I sense within. Is a new man. Hallelujah. You can't be an amoeba. A new man. Not formless and shapeless as it is. So are you in this world. I didn't say as it is, I say as it is. So next chapter had to do with a mighty army, which Ezekiel 37 prophesied, can this guy mostly, and there was a shaking together, there was a mighty army in verse 10. So obviously from verse 30, chapter 36 was referring to men, a people. Look at John 14. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions, but not so. I have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. No, it says, where I am, it says, there you may be also. And we read earlier on, in verse 20, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Look at 21. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he that loved me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Look at verse 23. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come to him, and make our abode with him. I mean, Jesus was very clear about that. In John 17, so that means, the glory of the resurrection will be found in the man who is born again. If it remains on the side of Jesus, that means we still have a promissory note. man must have changed. If there was no change in man, they still a promissory note, because the change has to be man. That man has to be made holy in his spirit. He has to be made like God in his spirit. And that will mean the promise has been fulfilled. John 17 and 22. I'll start from 20. Neither pray I for this alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their preaching, that's their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, in me, and I in you, and they also may be one in us, and the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Notice that. So the glory, which is the word doxa, doxa is often used for wealth, riches, authority, and power. So he says, the glory I gave to them, and what is that glory? Never think that the glory is something, that they may be one. So the glory of the work of Christ is God's unity with man. That's the glory. That's the glory of the work of Christ. Don't start thinking there's one glory somewhere. No, that is the glory. That they may be one. Don't say, I have the glory of God. We are in union with God. That is the glory of God. Does it make sense to you? That's the glory of God. There's no glory beyond this. There can't be anyway. So in John 17, again, verse 5. Glorify me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. And the glory is a unity or the union of God in man. That's what he was referring to. Before the world was. So it was a promise before the world was. And Jesus, in his redemptive sacrifice and ascension, had fulfilled that purpose of God in humanity. Because in Christ, we don't see God in the distance. We see God in man. From the incarnation, that was demonstrated. God in man. Sin consciousness has driven us in the distance. But in Christ, we have found a union. God in man. And also, man in God. So, can we say safely that the new creation is the glory of Christ's resurrection? Huh? Good. Look at John 7. Pay attention, please. 37. In the last day, the great day of the feast, or that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, now notice what he said. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, without much ado, there were many statements Jesus made about him giving that had nothing to do with his incarnation but his resurrection. For example, John 3, verse 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is in the new birth. That could not have happened in the four gospels. Verse 5. Except a man is born of the water, which is the spirit, he cannot enter. Again, that wasn't possible. It was not available. It was possible, not available. It was possible by faith, but was not available to them. And he now explained it further. When Nicodemus was now, saying, you have to give me details. He now said to him that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that's his resurrection. And whoever believes in him should not perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but has everlasting life. That explains the new birth. So what he said in John 3:3 was not available until he was what? Lifted up. Does it make sense to you? So he said many things like that. John 10:10. No, John 4, verse 10. If you knew the gifts of God, and he that asks of thee, you'll have asked of him, and he will have given thee living water. John 4:14. If you drink of this water, you will thirst again. But he says, the water that shall, whoever drinks of the water that shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into what? Nothing was everlasting till Christ rose from the dead. Since he was going to die, anything he gave could not be everlasting. The everlasting was when he became everlasting in his resurrection and ascension. Look at John 5. As the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Look at John 5:22. Is that present tense or future tense? Huh? Was that present tense then or future tense? Future tense then. John 5:24. He that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Again, this statement is post-resurrection. John 6. Verse 33. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. I am the bread of life. Verse 35. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst. All these statements are post-resurrection realities. You see, he now said in verse 51, I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If any man eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Does it make sense to you now? Okay. So everything he was saying was post-resurrection. So, whatever he mentioned here was not available till the resurrection. So, you can call the resurrection the marker. Verse 58. This is that bread which comes down from heaven. Not as your... So when we say comes down from heaven, we are smart enough, we have read the Pauline Revelation, we mean the heavenly one. You get it? Does it make sense now? It's not that something is coming from the sky. It means heavenly. So what he was talking about were spiritual realities. Right? Where is it? Heavenly from heaven. He's talking about his spiritual reality. When he said, no man has ascended unto the Father, but the Son of God which is in heaven, but the Son of God which is in heaven. He was referring to in the Spirit. John 6 again, 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Again, those are post-resurrection realities. So John 7. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Present tense or future? Huh? He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, that's the Old Testament. And there's no verse like this in the Old Testament. So as the scripture has said, is to put together all the words of the prophets. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, when I read this in English, I hear belly. I look at the belly, I say, out of his belly. Look at his belly. So that means Jesus will just stand like this. Okay, how does water come out of your belly? Either by throwing up or purging. Now that's not what he meant. The word belly there is the word womb. And that's why some versions use innermost being. It's the word koilia. K-O-I-L-I-A. Innermost being or womb. So we have an option. We have an option. It's either a womb where something begins or is born. Something begins or is born. Or the innermost being. So we have to choose. The same word was used by Nicodemus in John 3:4. Can a man enter into his mother's womb, koinonia, and be born the second time? So koinonia can be used for a birth, right? So, is that what Jesus is talking about? Inside him shall flow rivers of living water, or from the new birth. Readily, what do you think? Huh? What do you think readily? It's not difficult. The next verse. Rivers of living water. You are going to ignore the plural of the word rivers. But look at 39. Let's take 39 together. So receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet, because Jesus was not yet what? So that means the womb is, he's been glorified. Right? Now, his being glorified is what exactly? His ascension. Or, call it, his resurrection. So, can we say the belly, and the glorification is the same thing? Huh? I'm asking a question. So, the belly will be upon his being glorified. So, is he talking about his innermost being, or the womb? Huh? Wait. Is Jesus' resurrection called being born again? We read it earlier now. This day have I begotten you. Psalm 2, verse 7, which we saw in Acts 13:33, Hebrews 1:5, Hebrews 5:5. Right? Come on. So, and out of his belly, can we say out of his resurrection? Is that correct? Come on. Out of his resurrection shall flow rivers. That word flow is rheo. R-H-E-O. Never used again. It's a deliberate pour. A deliberate, not something that just carelessly, a deliberate giving of something. Not just that it's splashing everywhere. Deliberate giving. So it's not just flowing like river. No. That is, it refers more to giving something, you know, that's what flow. Then the word rivers is more of the abundance. Not where you, in your mind, you now begin to see rivers in River Niger. Is to say that it will be more than one. So in more than one place is the word rivers, abundance. Let's get back to out of his belly, which is obviously his resurrection. So when he said that, what did he mean? Romans 8:29 says that he might be the firstborn among what? So the many brethren will be the rivers of what? The many brethren will be the rivers of living water, right? No. Many rivers. So his resurrection is the belly. His resurrection is the womb of the new creation, the new birth. Colossians 1. Verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things that he might have the preeminence. So, he is the firstborn, which is called the prototokos model. So that means, in his resurrection, we will have, pay attention, the spirit, right, of the Son. Correct? Okay? So, the spirit of the Son will now be multiplied. Allow me to use that, right? Which is the reverse. Is that clear? Of living water. We have seen so far, living water refers to the spirit of life. So it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, referring now to the new creature. All fullness, that overflow is dwelling in Christ. So all sons are found in who? Christ. That's why he's the firstborn. All the fullness, the pleroma, is found. The pleroma of God are his sons. Are you following me? The pleroma of God are his sons. It's not God in multiplication. It is sons in multiplication, in abundance. So Christ is the head of that new creation. Are you following this? Now, 1 Peter 1. Verse 2. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, hallelujah, has begotten us how? Again, through unto life, by what? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So our new birth is found in his resurrection. Does it make sense now? That is, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Those are the waters of his resurrection. The fruit of redemption. Called the first fruit of every creature. So the rivers will be abundance. So the rivers will be believers or sons unto glory. Right? Are we together here? Hebrews 2:10. He has brought many sons to glory. Verse 11 says, he that are sanctified and those who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. He said, I will declare your name in the midst of the congregation. And he says, there's oneness in what he has done. We have one, then we have many. And all those many are found in one. Does it make sense to you? Rivers of living water. Go to John 7 again. Are you learning something here? You know, it's out of my belly. It's out of your resurrection. So the rivers of living water, ideas, waters of ideas, entrepreneurial innovation. Nobody is here to tell me where he saw that the Spirit was given to pass exams. Right? I just have the Spirit of excellence. You are not serious. And then the guy has spirit of excellence, you know, say, cast out the demon, say, you need to get an NGO to help this guy. It's not just excellence. It's excellence to tell that you are. John 7. Look at 39. Let's take it together. Which day that believe on him should receive? If you miss this one, you should be flogged. Let's take it again. Should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet. Don't use the word giving. The Holy Ghost, the what? Okay, so what is it? This spake he of. What is the this? The womb, the rivers, or the living water? Is it the womb? You don't receive the womb now, so it can't be. It has to be the rivers of living water. Alright? Is it the rivers or the living water? Or the water of life? That the living water here means water of life. The word zontas. Zontas, that's water of life, okay? So, the Spirit was not yet. Notice that. So, with they that believe should receive. So, can we start they that believe from Abel? Can we start from Abel? Abel in the Bible. That's Abel. Which Abel? Can we start from Abel? So they that believe should receive. What about Abraham? What about Abraham? So Hebrews 11:1, faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right? So what were they waiting upon? To be perfected, which is the end point. That's the end point. Perfected means the end point, teleos. To get to the very end of where you are going. And the very end is the guarantee, the seal. Amen. Is that clear? The seal, that's it. So, the very end. So, Abraham, pay attention, Galatians 3:8. The scriptures foreseeing that God will justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham. We'll see that shortly. So, Abraham was a believer. So those that will receive, was it just talking about those who were present there, or those who had believed even years before Jesus came? Very good. Now pay attention. For the Holy Ghost was not yet. Was not yet. Yet what? Why did they put giving? It appeared like it was not yet giving, it was hidden. Hidden. And then, Father is saying, I can't give my speech like that. You know, I'm a man of principle. Jesus has to die. When he has died, and I get the offering, and it's cool, then I will not give my spirit. But that can't be what he's saying. So, the Holy Ghost was not yet. It's a suffix. It's the Greek word hoipo. O-U-P-O. You must add something to it. Was not yet. Oh. We are left hanging. But it explains it. Because Jesus was not yet what? Glorified. So, would you rather put given or available? What would you prefer? Given or available? Who will pick available instead of giving? Over giving. Why? I was going to call you. Why would you pick available over giving? A whole King James translator would give it. You are saying available. You must make yourself available. So the yet, not yet, available will mean, let's use very layman terms. Allow me to use this. It's in a promissory form, but doesn't come to reality. Does that work? Huh? So, is Jesus glorified the Spirit, the Holy Spirit? Jesus glorified, is that the Holy Spirit? Okay, wait. Jesus glorified, is that the promise? Is that the promise? What is that the promise? Jesus glorified, what Jesus glorified again? Resurrection. He has to say resurrection. Huh? Dominion over sickness and sin. You are coming around. What Jesus glorified? What is the glory of his resurrection? Huh? Huh? I and you. No, I'm following you now. What is it? Is his glory a throne? That idol we have created. A throne in clouds that is made of gold. Now I have Kepta. And I have two people guarding him. Like the king of Zamunda. He coming to America. So Christ glorified? Or Christ was glorified, then you now give him the Spirit. You are glorified. Take the Spirit. Oh my God. You need the Spirit, Christ. Or is Christ glorified, in this context, is Christ glorified the Holy Spirit? Where do we start from again? You see that one Holy Spirit definition in your head? Eh? Christ glorified is the Lord the Spirit. Yes. So John 7:37-39. Is Christ talking about himself in his resurrection? Huh? So, do you agree with her that we should use available rather than giving? Huh? Somebody has said yes. So, John 7:39, is that the new creature? Huh? In Christ? So is John 7:39 the new birth? Is that the new birth? Is that the new birth? So Christ glorified is bringing many sons. Is that it? Okay. That's why we have the rivers of living water. Many. Is that clear? Okay. We'll look at the book of Acts tomorrow in church before service. You will see that you should not have a fixated opinion about the Spirit. You must ask yourself what, because there's an interplay between when he's talking about God alone or the man in Christ. You must know what he's talking about. And you discover that the focus in the epistles was actually the new creation. That's the focus in the epistles. Whether I'm taking that seriously, I'm not sure, but I'm definitely going to do the book of Acts and the four gospels a bit, first and second services tomorrow. So that you see the Spirit. And you not be having a celestial idea. Fire! This Spirit. You know, it's not easy to let go of the past. Are you now saying that we are God? Exactly. Can't you see you are God? Can't you just see that you are God? You know? You know when we have abused scriptures? Okay. 4 John 5:4. Whatsoever is born of God. He didn't say who, he said what. That idea that is born of God. That ministry is born of God. Somebody said, and I called the person's attention. I said, it's true. Your business is born of God. Your business also believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said, no. I said, try and be cool. Cooling down. I know you say, everyone say, If you realize how long drawn error can be, people getting excited and believing in 100 years doesn't make it true. Look at John the Baptist. He said it before everybody, this is the Lamb of God. The same person. Everybody. And as he said that, said, they tell you are the Christ. No, I'm not the Christ, so I only came to prepare a way. He said he's among you. I mean, if you were a disciple of John, you should have had enough sense that our timeline in this ministry is short. You should have known it, just common sense. You know, and he said, this is the Lamb of God. He said it, everybody heard it. Two of them that were very smart just went to meet Jesus. Those two. The others, they are loyal. They stayed with him. They went to prison to check him. And then he now said, are you the one to come? I said, we'll go and tell him. Can they say, Reverend John, but you said he was the one. So John changed what he was teaching. And they went to, sorry, sir. You saw somebody lay hands on the sick, raising the dead. He said, when you are too, sir, I want to see you. Now we have a word with this. Sorry, sir. Reverend John said we should ask you. If they were wise, as they got to Jesus' meetings, this will have turned back. They do that. This will be a stupid question. They just go, level. That man is the Christ, Rebo. Forget it. Did he tell you, Rebo, we know what we saw. You needed to have followed him, sir. Seriously. You know, the point was that even after that, you know, you still found John had disciples in Asia. He never got a visa to go to Asia. People can be dogged, though. And Apollos. You see, the disciples, and got it every day under John's error. And he said, have you received the Holy Ghost as you believe, sir? But the answer is, we've not heard whether there be any. Any. Now wait, say, unto what day were you baptized? Say, unto John's baptism. They said it proudly. They even opened several scriptures. Don't bury it, brothers. Saying that you should believe on him that should come out of Jesus Christ. They heard that for the first time from Paul. So they were carrying John's errors all over the place. And John was saved. And they were following doggedly. So people learning something studiously doesn't mean that what they have learned is correct. They were disciples of John. That is, they were well schooled in error. But how you know is that the moment the gospel came, they were receptive. And historically, that was almost 40 years, about 28, 30 years anyway, that John was murdered. They didn't outlive him. And who knows? That is the one we know now. Imagine Asia. You know. Yet the man knew who Christ was. Look at Galatians 3:8. So we said John 7:39 is the new creation. Okay. Or the spirit of the new creation. Let's leave it like that. Huh? Is that the spirit of the Son of God? The spirit of Christ. Okay, quickly. Galatians 3:8. The scripture foreseen that God will justify the eating through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. Now, of course, the word foreseen is the word proraho, which is proorao. It's a prophecy. It's used for prophecy to say something ahead of time. You see it in Acts 2:25. For David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. I foresaw the Lord. That's an event that had not happened. Acts 2:25. Now if you read that further to 31, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ. that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Spoke. So that foreseeing is actually speaking. Is actually to speak. You see the same word in Acts 21:29. And so when you say Abraham rejoiced to see my day, he saw it. Jesus knew that by what Abraham said. So that the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith is an utterance preached before the gospel through Abraham is a better word, through Abraham, because Abraham was a prophet. In thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. I've explained the word to you. The word in thee means by faith, not in Abraham as a person. It's by faith, the step. So Abraham was a prophet called Nabai in Hebrew. He spoke out that promise of God that by faith men will be justified. So when you hear Abraham believed in the Lord, he was counted to him for righteousness, Genesis 15:6. That was also an utterance of Abraham because he was a prophet. Do you understand? So all the prophets who believed, they believed in what they uttered. Now look at what it was. Verse 13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, but he's written, cursed everyone that hangeth on the tree. Now let's take verse 14 together and closely show. Galatians 3, let's go. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive what? The promised Spirit through faith. The promised Spirit, singular, through faith. So, verse 16. The promises, again singular. Verse 17. The promise, singular. Don't forget we've done that. 18. It is no more promise, singular. Verse 19. The promise, singular. So the promise is singular. The promised Spirit, which is by the faith of the gospel. Verse 29. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Which promise is that? Huh? The promised Spirit, right? Okay, good. So look at chapter 4 now, so we can write it home. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, defers nothing from the servant, though he be Lord of all. He's under tutors and governors of the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Let's take verse 4 together. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive what? Hold on. So, is the promise adoption of sons? Come on. Very good. Is the blessing adoption of sons? Look at 6. Together, let's go. Because you are sons, let's go together, please. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant but a son, if a son, an heir of God through Christ. Amen. So the promise is sonship by the Spirit. Huthesia. So we are not sons, we are not slaves, we are sons. Galatians 3:1. Oh, foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you that shall not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been eloquently sent forth, crucified among you. This only will I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? So, the Spirit there is a new birth. Is that right? Is that correct? So, the promise given to Abraham was the new birth. Justified, he received forgiveness of sins. No doubt, Romans 4. But Galatians 3. Romans 4 talks about justification by faith. Romans 4, verse 3 to 6, about Abraham and 8. But Galatians 3 is talking about the blessing that he waited for. In Romans 4, he was blessed with it. In Galatians 3, it was a promise he waited upon. Are you following this? Uh-huh. So this is not forgiveness of sins now. This is the new birth. The Spirit of the Son, Huthesia. And this is the same Spirit with the Father. That's why he cries, Abba Father. The Holy Spirit is in the new birth, or he refers to the new creation. The Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of the Son. Indestructible, indomitable. So what you hear, we are led by the Spirit, we are taken from the flesh by the Spirit. So in other words, what Abraham and all waited for was the forgiveness of sins. That's in God's character. It was to be reborn. Except a man is born again. That is, born from above. Born of the Spirit. That which is born of pneuma is pneuma. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of, the moment the Spirit of the Son departs from the Spirit of the Father, then we are still waiting for another promise. The Spirit of the Son is the Spirit of the Father. Because we have the same DNA. Amen. The same DNA. And so in Christ, when we find the word Holy Spirit, we must find out which is the personality involved. This is the reason why in Paul's opening statements, where he introduces the relationship the church has with God, you will not find him refer to the Holy Spirit, or the terminology of Holy Spirit, for particularly. Though, as you begin to read his epistles, and just like the apostles, you begin to situate who the Holy Spirit is in the context of what we're learning. But hear this as we close. Most activities called the Holy Spirit refers to the believer. We'll see a few of that in the book of Acts tomorrow in the first service. Amen.